If you are a veteran and have filed a VA disability claim and have been denied, have received a low rating, or you're unsure how to get started, reach out to us. Go to vacifree30.com, linked in our show notes, and take advantage of a free VA claim discovery call. Learn what you've been missing so you can finally get the disability rating and compensation you deserve. Welcome back, Mill Spouses, to another episode of Mill Spouse House. Molly and I were kind of just talking about some things I was reading on a few subreddits and Facebook groups that I belong to as a military spouse. And I was reading some conversations that some other spouses were having. And there's a common theme of wanting marriage advice and advice from other military spouses of how do you go through the troubles of marriage with the factor of being a military family added on top of that. Because we all know marriage is hard and can be difficult at times. And we all know the divorce rate is higher in military families than it is in civilian families. Is there something that we can help each other out with in actually having conversations about marriage? And I think the first thing is talking about troubles that you're having within your marriage, or having the conversation that it's not a picture perfect life. Like, we definitely celebrate military families on this podcast, but we know that it's not perfect every day.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I have a couple of personal theories on why the divorce rate is so high in the military. You know, one, and we've talked about it a lot, that typically the military speeds up the marriage process in terms of, you know, I don't know if my husband and I would have gotten married when we did, how we did, if he was not in the military. But I do know, but we are a little bit different just because we were dating for so many years prior to it. Right. A lot of the times you hear military spouses that they meet a service member while they're in. And so they're only actually dating, or they've only actually known that person for a couple of months, or, you know, a year, or, you know, whatever the time frame is. And so it typically is very sped up for a number of different reasons, but that is kind of the trend, I would say. And so I definitely think that's a factor, because if you haven't gone through that dating process, you can find out a lot about someone within that dating process, living with that person. You know, were you living with them prior to getting married? And those type of things. So I think that's one of my biggest theories, is kind of just straight out the gate, full speed ahead. If you get married really quick, there's a lot that you and your spouse either don't know about each other or have to figure out.
A lot of us skip that dating period. We kind of skip the dating period. I mean, we did know each other as well for many years, but we didn't date like you all did. And I think for a lot of people, that romance part of it is so short for us military spouses and couples. And so that, like, the old term, like courting, you know, like the butterflies, like all the really fun things, like even the honeymoon phase ends much faster for us because reality kicks in. Your spouse is being deployed. Your spouse is going off to training. You're moving across the country. You're moving across the world. Like, all these, like you said, milestones happen within the first, sometimes first year. And you do miss that, like, a kind of whimsical dating cycle, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. I also hear too, like, even if you do get engaged, it's really hard to plan a wedding within the military, because we've talked about this before too. It's really hard to plan anything in the military. There's trainings that pop up. There's, you know, who knows if your leave is going to get approved. PCSing. I mean, there are deployments. There are so many different factors, and planning is really, really hard. So I think that is also why there's a lot of elopements and, you know, courthouse weddings, because it's just easier, you know? It's so much easier to do it that way than to plan an actual wedding and if your service member not be able to be there for it.
And one of the comments I was reading, it was this girl asking for some advice because she was gonna do the secret marriage, act like they're engaged for a year or whatever, and then have a wedding. And I feel like sometimes, obviously do what's best for you, but I feel like sometimes that can bring some, not necessarily tension, but I know for me, like I didn't have a wedding shower, I didn't have a bachelorette party, I didn't have an engagement party, all those like little celebratory things. And I told her that we almost did the secret engagement wedding thing, but ultimately I was glad that I was out about my marriage. I think hiding a marriage is something that would be so tough and kind of confuse the relationship in a way.
Yeah,
And that's an
absolutely.
assumption of mine, but that's why we decided against it ultimately.
Yeah. And we didn't, so we got engaged when he right before he went in to basic training, pretty much. So we got engaged right before then, but then we were planning while he was at basic. I was kind of quote unquote planning the wedding to keep my mind off of, I can't talk to my husband for 8 or my fiance for 8 weeks. So it was a real, I went dress shopping with my family and started to make a Pinterest board. It just distracted me. We didn't have a date, but we did have a general plan. So I did get to try on wedding dresses and all of that while he was at basic. And yeah, obviously we were engaged. And then when we decided to elope, we didn't tell anybody. But that wasn't because we weren't proud of it. It was that I didn't want anyone's opinion. And that's how we could keep that down. We almost didn't tell our parents, but at the last minute, we were just like, okay, we really want to tell our parents and, make sure that they're in on it. But then we just told everybody else afterwards. We literally sent out like a mass text saying, like, with a picture of us getting married to everybody. And so, whatever, family members are still a little peeved about that, but we did it how we wanted to do it. But in going back to kind of the speed, the high speed train that the military is in terms of, relationships, I do have a really good a couple of friends actually that are a great example because they met the service member, they got married really quick, and they're still married. They got married around the time that we got married, so we're going on 7 years married. So yeah, they have kids. And so sometimes it does work, not everybody is the statistic, but I do feel like they work hard. They work hard at their marriage. But that being said, like working hard at your marriage, like that would be my number one tip, is it's not going to be a cakewalk, especially in the military or transitioning out. You have to work hard at your marriage. It has to be a two-way street. Someone can't be working harder at your marriage than the other, and setting those expectations within your relationship as well. But one of my biggest, I guess, tips for marriage is that to give your spouse the benefit of the doubt, to understand that they are not doing that specific act, or they're not doing what they're doing to piss you off. They're not doing it like, oh, this will really make Molly mad if I do this, or if I don't respond to this text, it'll really, really make her mad. You have to approach it or kind of change your mindset, or at least I did, and say, okay, this person loves me. This person really cares about me, or we wouldn't be married. But this person loves me. They wouldn't purposely do anything to tick me off. So kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt is, hey, maybe they opened that text, but they couldn't respond right now, and they're going to respond later. Unless we're like in a fight or something, but that's a whole another thing. But like doing things that will specifically, that's like the toxic relationship, which I do know happens sometimes, and maybe that's a bridge that you have to cross. But I have to remind myself too, like with my kids. They're not specifically doing that to make me mad. Maybe they're testing a boundary, but they're not doing it like, oh, I know how to make mom mad. I'll do this. It's very rare that the motive behind an act is negative. especially if that person loves you.
Yeah, and I think this has been something that I have really, really been working on for the past year, I would say, is yes, they're not trying to hurt you on purpose. And also the little things that they are doing that you may just see as a thing that they're doing is actually them trying to help you or trying to show you that they care or show you that they're doing something. You know, recently my husband actually had to remind me that he was doing something because it was something that I had asked him for. Like I had asked him, you know, I really want to go on a date or something. Like we never go on dates because I'm always working at night. He's always working during the day. Weekends were tired at that point. And like, it's just not enough romantic time. But then he's like, Aaron, I just booked us a trip to Jeju for the 4th of July weekend. That's romantic. It's just not happening right now. And I had to remind myself, oh my gosh, that is like a couple months away or whatever, but that is him showing that he has taken into account what I said. It may not be an immediate solution to my want or need, but it is a solution that he is trying to do and he is actively planning. And like, I think we just get caught up in the right now kind of moments. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about those other things. And even just like him setting the coffee up before he goes to bed, because I may have forgot to put it on the timer or whatever. It's those little things that we overlook so often, along with the, oh, he's ignoring me kind of stuff, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's me trying not to get hung up on things too. Hung up on the little things, you know, like I know that my husband listens, but one of my things is I have anxiety.
Anxiety. I think that's a common theme with us military spouses.
For sure. And one of my things is I like to know when he's coming home, when he's on the road. You know, if I haven't heard from him all day because he's so busy at work and then he just like shows up at home, it's just like,
I'm the same way.
I feel like if you would have just texted me and said, hey, yes, I'm on my way home. I don't know. It just takes my anxiety down a notch if I know that he's on his way home. Slips his mind. He gets in the car, his car ride. He likes to call like friends and family, and that's kind of his time. I think he just, honestly, it's an honest mistake. He just forgets.
Your husband is the same as my husband. We literally, like, I can't wait for them to meet because they seem very similar. I'm the same exact way, Molly. I'm like, I need you to let me know because I don't know. It could be anything. Like, maybe I wanted to have cleaned up. I mean, because I'm here all day long, right? So the kitchen, by the end of the day, is a mess because I don't have time to do all that while I'm working. Yeah. Maybe I would want it cleaned up before he gets home. I completely understand.
But then sometimes I love the surprise. Like yesterday, I didn't expect him home until like 5:30 or 6. And he walked in at like 4:30. And so it was such a nice surprise that he was home, you know, before I thought he was going to be home. So it's like, I can't have it both ways. But I'm trying
not to get. And we want it both ways.
Yes. But I'm trying not to get hung up on those type of things. Because he knows my expectation. He knows that I would love a text. And so when he does text me, it's fantastic. I love it. And I thank him for it. That's something too, that when you see them doing a task or something you've asked, is to thank them right then and there, not just say it in your head. And if they're not there, write them a note, you know, hey, thanks for unloading the dishwasher. I am notably one of those wives. I used to be really good at it, but I make my husband's lunch when I'm making my daughter's lunch, and I'll write like notes on his like sandwich bag. I'm sure his coworkers give him crap for it, but I'll write notes and I'll thank him on the note, or I'll do like a dad joke or, you know, something. But sometimes if like, you know, I think I did it on Monday And I was like, hey, thank you so much for a beautiful Mother's Day. Like, the day was perfect, you know, just thanking him. I know I thanked him verbally, but it's something about seeing it written as well. Mm-hmm. Like being appreciated verbally versus like reading it.
We do a lot of notes too, because we're always passing ships in the night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But what you said, like, we can't have it both ways. I think it's like a big deal. So I don't like to choose where we eat, because my husband is a little bit pickier than I am, and I don't want to disappoint him. So I'm or put him, like, I want him to enjoy himself, but he gets tired of picking the place all the time and wants me to pick the place sometimes. So you got to understand that maybe your partner is asking something of you that you are asking of them as well.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. I have a perfect potential solution to your problem. I saw this TikTok the other day, and it was a rock, paper, scissors date. And so they would do a rock, paper, scissors, and, like, you know, whoever won got to pick where they went for appetizers. And then they would do rock, paper, scissors again, and whoever won got to pick where they had their entrees.
That's cute.
That would be kind of a fun, like, light way for someone to decide, because we have the same issue is but it's switched. So I'm more picky than he is. He would eat anything anywhere. And sometimes, like, I have a thing with breakfast in terms of, like, if it's like, I have to have breakfast food before lunch. Like, I can't have like a lunch food or a non-breakfast food in the morning. I don't know. It's weird. I think I got it.
See, I'm the other way. I could eat. Yeah, I'm the other way.
I think you would have to be, though, because you are switched most of the time.
Oh, yeah, but that is true. It really has messed that kind of a pattern up for me, is for sure.
Yeah.
But that's a really cute way to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finding creative ways around issues, you know? My husband and I, we have so much going on in terms of, like, the kids, and we both have extra full-time jobs, and then he's in school. And so there's very few times that we can actually sit and not talk about work, school.
Oh, yeah.
And we did the other night, and we looked at each other, and we're like, this felt so good. We had, like, almost a political conversation, actually, which typically we don't like to, you know, we don't watch the news and everything, but it was, you know, it was important to, you know, there's a lot been going on. And so we kind of just touched base on some of, like, the hot topics right now that you see on social media and on the news. And he's like, we haven't done this in a really long time. Like, this felt really good to, like, get off my chest. And I was like, same. So I think we're going to try, you know, to do it more often. But it was nice that we both verbally said, like, yeah, this was nice. This was, like, good for our mental health to, like, get this out there and kind of reconnect and touch base, you know? Because even if you're on different political sides, which my husband and I were for years, but it's just because we avoided the topic, so we didn't know how similar our beliefs were. We were just coming at in different ways.
Oh, my husband and I were doing that for a long time, too.
Yeah. And so it was really – and it took, like, an election and us, like, talking through a lot of, like, the ballots – together, like the ballot questions and all of that, for us to be like, wow, we are literally on the same page on the majority of the topics.
Well, a lot of people are. It's the way a lot of people have the same goals, but it's the way they want those goals achieved and the way they approach it that's different. And that's exactly what we have over the years learned as well. Like we absolutely want the best for people. But the way we think and how we get there can be different at times.
Yeah. People always think there's a right and there's a wrong.
Right.
And you have the same goals. And honestly, not to get political, but I think that is one of the major issues with our government and policies and everything is, of course, everyone wants the best for people. But again, the approach and how you get there is going to look drastically different depending on your values and
everything. How you were brought up, what your environment is now, everything. Yeah.
But absolutely. I think that's super important. You and your spouse can totally be on different ends of the spectrum in terms of anything. But as long as you are both open to hearing each other's sides and you don't put that wall up, I honestly don't think that it's an issue. My parents are on completely different sides of the political scale, and they've been married for, oh God, I don't know the, sorry, mom and dad, I don't know the actual date, but years, at least 30.
Here's the thing with that though. And here was the second thing that I wanted to bring up. I think the first tip we both agree, like we both came with that, because you know, recognizing when your spouse is trying and also that they're not trying to hurt you. But the second thing I think that's important and goes with what you just said is that we have to learn about ourselves and how to talk about our beliefs, what we want, who we are as people, what I value. If you can't articulate that and you haven't sat and thought about it or practiced it or realized like actually like who you are as a person, how can you expect somebody else to fully understand it? And I think that's where those conversation streams get tangled up and you get caught in this web of arguing and not hearing each other and not seeing each other and not listening. I think it's so important for you to be able to calmly talk about yourself or talk about what you believe in. Because how can you expect the other person to understand if you can't articulate it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, that's so important. So important to, again, learn about yourself before bringing on a whole nother person. I think, honestly, that goes right back to my theory as well, because a lot of the statistics, I believe, truly are those, you know, 18-year-olds that go straight from high school straight to the military. And they're really, really young. And so they get married young. And I don't think they have fully understood or they fully understand who they are as a person. And then they are meshing lives, you know, combining with another person when they don't know who they are. And that can be make or break, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. I see a lot of people, you know, suggest to especially these spouses on these pages who are having a hard time, marriage counseling. And I see that and I understand it. I would start with going on your own. So, and this is just how I did it. This is how we did it. This is just a recommendation. This is not like, take it for whatever it is. But I went by myself and then I would invite my husband every once in a while to join me and my therapist, because I had to learn about what I wanted first. Because if you don't know what you want, then how can you expect your partner to know? And I think it's important to have that individual journey, and you can have that while you're married and in that situation, but it does take a level of self-value and care, and like that's self-care, like that right there, like learning about yourself and becoming an individual, because it is so easy for us to be, as the military likes to call us, you know, dependents and sponsors, you know. Like we resort to these titles, and you got to learn about yourself. And of course, and then pile the marriage counseling on top of that too, I think. But I think you have to, I think it takes both. You understanding yourself as an individual and then bringing in the conversation of how do you communicate?
Yeah. And I think this is from movies, but I always hear, like, you know, in movies, like, I just need to work on myself. I need to work on myself right now. And that's kind of almost a reasoning for them splitting from their partner, or it doesn't even have to be divorce. It can be just like, you know, I'm not ready to date right now. Or I'm like, even just a breakup, you know, from someone, be like, I just need to work on myself. I can't work on us right now. I need to work on myself. But why can't you do it at the same time? Yeah. You know, like you were saying, there's definitely space to do it. And if that person truly does love you and is there for the long haul, they might even, you asking them like, hey, I need to go to my therapist on my own. I need to work on myself before I can work on us. Are you like, does that sound like something that we can work through? Can you take the kids for an hour each week while I go to therapy? Like, work something out, because if that person truly does love you, they're going to want you to work on yourself.
Right.
And maybe this will be something that they can do too. Like, let's work on us individually and then come back and work on, you know, our marriage. Because the true definition of marriage is that you are one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you working on yourself is you working on your marriage.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, I think, the biggest piece that is missing in some of these conversations. It's more than just how do you communicate with your partner and how do you work together and he does this, she does this, they do this, all this kind of stuff. And it really has to start within yourself. And I think if you're a person listening and your spouse is the one going through this and wants to go to therapy on their own first, and maybe you're someone who you already know yourself, so you don't really have to do that much work, I suggest being patient, because I think it will pay tenfold. I think mm-hmm. you will see the benefits much quicker, and I think you will see much more progress if you allow them that time to kind of take for themselves. Because my husband had to be patient. I mean, the whole, and I've said this before, being a military wife, being a new wife, and then being a military wife was a shock to my system. I did not do well with it at first. But luckily, like, my husband was patient, and he didn't understand it at first, why it was so hard, because, you know, that whole thing of you knew what you were getting into. Mm-hmm. You knew, but you don't. You can't until you experience it. And so if you're listening and your spouse is going through those changes and is having a hard time with those changes, maybe this is something that, you know, you talk about together, but, you know, come from a place of love and caring and just be patient. That's all I can really say about that part.
Yeah. And my husband and I have talked about this too, is like, there would need to be something massive for us to end up even talking about divorce. We truly mm-hmm. think that we can work through anything, but that's because we are both on the same page in terms of, we are here for the long haul. We're here to overcome anything together. It would take a lot for us, but we've had that open conversation. We had it prior to even getting married, that, hey, what are your like end all be alls? Like, what would be hard to overcome? And that would lead to a divorce. We had it even prior to getting married. Yeah. And it's weird talking about divorce before you're even married, but I think it's important to know where that person stands.
Well, with the cheating thing, I mean, we all know that infidelity is huge. Mm-hmm. And in like, just in general, I guess, among people, but in the military, it's something you hear about and you have a conversation because you're separated. But also, do you both agree on what that is?
Yeah.
On what that infidelity actually is? Or it doesn't even have to be with that, but anything. Like, do you all know each other's boundaries? Do you know each other's limits? And like, what is a deal breaker? Or not.
Yeah, you don't want to find that stuff out when it happens. Then you're in a Ross and Rachel situation from Friends, that we were on a break. That's a perfect example of them not being on the same page. They didn't know that where they stood, and that ended their relationship at that time, you know? And so that could end your relationship if you don't know and you haven't talked about situations and boundaries. That could end it right then and there with a potential situation that you could have worked through.
You have to hold true to your boundaries as well. And this is something I talked with someone about recently. They set a boundary. The boundary was crossed. They didn't do anything. They set it again. The boundary is crossed again. They set it again. Boundary is crossed again. And they never changed their reaction with this person. And I said to them one day, I said, how can they respect your boundaries if you don't live up to that boundary and like what the repercussion is for, like, I'm not going to participate in this relationship anymore if you keep doing this. But then you keep participating in that relationship in the same exact way. How are they supposed to believe you? How are they supposed to believe your boundary if you don't even recognize your own boundary and stick to it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
One more thing that I want to say is that I saw this on TikTok actually yesterday. This woman was talking about her therapist saying that what if the moments in the beginning are the actual truth? And what she means is, what if those like little quirks that the other person did that you thought were funny or charming that you now find like super annoying, like your brain's lying to you now. Like, what if those moments in the beginning were the truth, and just over time, we're not in touch with that anymore? What if the excitement that you used to have when you'd see this person for the first time, or the warmth that you felt for the first time, is still there? But, you know, our brains can play tricks on us sometimes. And like, we get used to that trickery and what it's saying in our heads. And maybe we have to sit back and really look at ourselves, like, why did we do this in the first place? Like, I love that my husband plays guitar. And there was a period where it was starting to annoy me for some reason. Sorry, honey, if you're listening. I don't know why. I think it was just because it was something within me. Like, I was stressed out all the time and I needed a break and like all these things. But like, I didn't communicate that. I didn't do anything to help myself with the things that I needed. And so something that I loved about him that he was doing was irritating me. And I'm like, this is half the reason why I was charmed by him in the first place. I should be so happy that my house is filled with music. And I am happy that my house is filled with music and with his voice while he plays. Like, other things happen and your brain projects it to something else that your partner is doing. So then it's not your fault anymore. It's not your responsibility anymore. It's theirs.
Yeah,
but we gotta own some of that.
Yeah, and that again brings us back to that first tip: is he's not playing the guitar to tick you off. You know,
he's not coming home. Yeah, he's not.
Aaron's working. I'm gonna play guitar right now because that'll really upset her. You know, like saying it like that in your head too is really, really helpful, because then you can kind of be like, "Wow, that's really stupid," or "What? Yeah. That doesn't even make sense." It's intercepting that negative self-talk or that negative thought that comes through your mind and resetting it. Just be like, nope.
And like, that reminds me of another TikTok. That reminds me of another TikTok of this girl reading this book. I think it was about Buddhism, but she said, when something intrudes your brain that's negative, say out loud, thought, and that registers to your mind that something is invading. Like, okay, say there's a fire. You're gonna yell fire to alert everyone that something dangerous is there that shouldn't be there. If we did that with our own thoughts, if we acknowledge them and say thought, like, hey, then you're able to acknowledge that it is intrusive, it is not there to benefit you. And how do you change it? How do you push that little villain out?
Oh, I'm going to try that, because I'm one of those people that has a running conversation with myself in my head. And yeah, and that coupled with anxiety is so hard, especially when you're trying to sleep or a random thought comes across your mind. Like those intrusive thoughts that have no place in being there, that don't even make sense. I'm going to try that. That might actually work.
Yeah. And ultimately, I would say to anyone out there who's having marriage troubles is like, recognize that you're having an issue. But then be hopeful that it can get better. I mean, if you've tried and tried and tried, that's a whole other story. If it just isn't working, it just isn't working and you're done. But if you want to work on it, if you want your marriage to work, you know, be gentle and say that it's rough right now. But that doesn't have to be forever. That doesn't have to be the way that it is all the time. But if you just ignore it, you don't address it, you don't talk about it, you don't like also say it's okay that we're having a hard time. Like, you can't be perfect. Too much pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that comparing too. Oh, we could do a whole thing on comparing.
Yeah.
But that can be, that can be damaging as well to marriages. Yeah, comparing absolutely. It to another person's marriage. Even your parents' marriage, you know? Every marriage is different. Every obstacle is different. And how you overcome that obstacle is also going to be different.
Yeah.
So really, it's just, you got to stay focused on you and your spouse, or partner, or, you know, whatever. You don't even have to be married for any of these tips.
Yeah.
You can just be with someone.
This could work platonically too, like just your friendships mm-hmm. with other people. Yeah. I mean,
oh, for sure.
Or your, or fam, like your brothers, sisters, cousins, mom, dad, whoever. I mean, this is just good way to kind of approach anything. But again, like, some of these tips may not work for you, and that's okay. Send us in your tips. If you've got some stories or some advice. I mean, I've only been married for 3 years, so my goodness, I am still learning. And I guess that's why this topic is important to me, is because I'm still learning how to be a good spouse and how to have a good marriage. And it's something I think you actively have to work on. But man, if you've been married for a couple decades, like, definitely send us in something that you've learned and some advice. If you go to our website linked in our show notes, there is a contact form that directly goes to our inbox. We would love to read any of your all's thoughts on air and, like, kind of talk about it, because it's an evolving process. I think we just learn things as we go through life. I mean, Molly, you've been married a lot longer than I have, so it's awesome to hear your take on everything.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to my friends. I'm the only one of my friends that's married right now. And they asked me how long I've been married for. And I was like, 7 years next month. And they were just like, oh my gosh. They're like, when we get married, you're going to be like a whole decade. Like, we're coming to you for tips, because you're going to be like a whole decade ahead of us at that point. But no, it doesn't feel like that long. But yeah, we definitely have learned a thing or two, military and just being, mm-hmm. you know, married. Civilian as well. But yeah, I'd love to, if you have any questions for me, if you have any additional tips. Yeah, I think marriage is something that you can always work on, whether you're freshly married in your honeymoon stage or you've been married, yeah, like Aaron said, for decades. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope that this episode brings you a little bit of hope. If you're in that kind of dark space, and just be kind to yourself. And with that being said, from our house to yours, have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Mill Spouse House is brought to you by VA Claims Insider. Let's face it, the VA claims process is a pain. Many veterans struggle for years trying to increase their ratings or even get rated at all. Most are not getting the compensation they deserve. Here at VA Claims Insider, we've supported more than 15,000 veterans to win their claims and increase their ratings. Now it's your turn. Schedule your free VA claim discovery call with one of our team members by going to vacifree30.com, linked in our show notes. You'll learn what gaps you need to fill to speed up your claim and increase your rating.